The LBC radio presenter James O'Brien was a pupil at Ampleforth and joins me now. Good afternoon, James.
Hello, Mark.
Were you aware of the abuse going on when you were there?
Not on this scale and not at the time. There was a sort of, which I don't think was unique to public schools, boarding schools, or indeed monastic Catholic schools, that there was a sense that these kind of crimes weren't quite as serious as we now realise they are. So as with many people, there would be teachers who perhaps had nicknames that suggested they were, groping or inappropriate touching. And I find it remarkable in retrospect to reflect that that didn't raise eyebrows. And then subsequently, since leaving, I've heard from former friends about abuse that was going on, particularly in the junior house school, and deputations that went to try and bring it to a wider audience. But the priority always seemed to be what I guess we'd have to call reputation protection rather than child protection.
You say in the junior house, how old would boys have been in that?
You begin the big school at 13, so the junior house would be from 10 to 13.
One of the very disturbing things in the report is the suggestion that some of this abuse took place in public, in front of other pupils, that it wasn't done in secret, hidden corners.
That is obviously astonishing on every level. But once you've got a sort of normalising of this sort of behaviour and you know, the unapologetic nature of it, I suppose the valley where the school is so insulated. It's very hard to express just how completely hermetically sealed the environment is. And then if you factor in the fact that these teachers are not just in loco parentis, so they're not just imbued with the authority of an ordinary normal teacher, they're also monks. So most of us were religious kids, you know, we were God-fearing. And the idea was twofold. This man is not only our teacher who has the power to tell us what to do, but he's also, you know, a man of God, God's representative on earth. So the authority that they wielded was both secular and spiritual. And that, I suspect, could have played a part in preventing younger people and perhaps older people who should have known better from registering just how egregious this behaviour was.
And talking about downside, where you didn't go to, but you heard John O'Brien saying that they still haven't carried out these reforms of governance. What do you make of that?
Well, I think there's a sort of control freakery at play. And I know the report references a chap who became abbot when I was at Ampleforth, Timothy Wright. He was my housemaster very briefly. He's described as clinging to outdated beliefs about paedophilia and having an immovable attitude of always knowing best. And that I imagine that what's happened at Downside is that idea persists. These men, remember, are, as I've mentioned, imbued with an authority that people who haven't been to a school like this would struggle to appreciate, the scale of the power that they wield. And for them to be told that anybody else knows better is a very difficult pill for them to swallow. They would resist it, I suspect, at every turn. And then, because I ended up getting thrown out of school myself after a cannabis scandal, and what astonished us at the time was how little concern there was about the children. It was all about protecting the school's reputation for two reasons. Number one, to protect people who'd done bad, but also it's a business, you know. People pay tens of thousands of pounds a year to go to this school, so the brand had to be protected. So you've got three factors. You've got the commercial, you've got the authority of the secular teacher, and then you've got the spiritual authority, all combining to create an atmosphere in which these men would find it very, very difficult to admit, A, that there was a problem, B, that they couldn't fix it, and C, that somebody else from outside or somebody else who's not a monk, who's not a member of the order, should have authority over them.
When we've heard all this from you and from Catherine about the mindset, can it be changed?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think it can. I think mandatory reporting seems to be one way of unlocking these breakdowns of communication. But also, I do think, and I don't think this is unique to schools like mine, society has changed, and society no longer thinks this sort of thing is just hijinks or forgivable or overlookable in any way. I would add briefly, I'm aware of two of my contemporaries who've taken their own lives subsequently and who were abused at school. So when you have to presume there's some goodness inside these men who are alleged to have given their lives to God. So when stories like that reach their ears, you have to presume that they will do whatever needs to be done to ensure that these sort of cultures can't grow up again.
James O'Brien, thanks very much indeed.